The reading this morning will be taken from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. That's James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to look at this title here, because it does seem as if that's very tricky. It seems like, let's approach temptation. It's almost as if, okay, let's go. We're going to go to this. We're going to go right there. We're going to face it, and we're going to see what happens. It's almost like a trick thought that you would think. And sometimes there's people that do that. There's a story that is told of a man who had to go downtown to see about some things. He said he had to go downtown, and as he did, he knew that he remembered that there was this coffee donut shop on the way. As he was going to go by there, and he thought, well, I'll go in there or go through that area of town, and I'll just stop and get me a cup of coffee. And then he uttered this prayer. He said, Lord, he said, if you want me to go into that coffee shop to get a donut, and he was on a diet, if you want me to go into this coffee shop to get a donut, he said, please provide a way as a space right in front of the coffee shop. And he knew that if there wasn't one, they'd just go on. And he knew that was the Lord's way of saying, you're not going to stop there. So he goes to town, and he says, just so happened there was a parking space open after he had gone around the block seven times. So it's just amazing what you do. If you approach it, it's going to come, and it's going to provide you whatever it is that you're looking for. That's the way temptation works. In this passage, there's something very serious that is stated here that I want you to look at with me. And these are things I want to mention to you right here. And during temptation, not yielding to it is a blessing, not just now, but in eternity. Another thought is, God does not tempt man. He does not stick it out there in front of you and say, okay, I want you to travel this road. I want to see if you make it to the other side. The third one is, every man, every woman is tempted from their own lust. And then you'll notice this one, and that is, lust are enticing, appealing, attractive, and demanding. All those rolled into one. Never, ever be deceived to think it will not happen or lead to the same results. That's why verse 16 says, my beloved brethren, be not deceived. It happens. And that's why I'm bringing up this point right here. Expect it. It is going to happen. It's going to happen. In the text that you see here in James chapter 1, verse 14, every man is tempted. Each man is tempted when? And you can fill in the blanks when that may be. Because the idea of when it will, how it will, where it will, what the conditions will be, what all the environment's going to be like, we don't know what that's going to be like. But each man is tempted when those take place. And you got to know that this is a very impartial thing. It's not based upon, okay, a certain race of people or certain socioeconomic background. It's not the male and female. It's not whether or not they're believers or unbelievers. It's not for the young versus the old. This is impartial. There's no set thing that says, okay, it's just for these people. No one else is going to be involved. No one is going to be looked at. No one else is going to be consulted. You're not going to have to deal with this. Don't worry about this. This is not for you. It's impartial. And with that being said, I think there's something to be said for taking this very, very seriously. There has become such expectation of it coming that there has been a tendency to think, well, this is just a normal way in which you live. This is something that's happening to everybody in our day and time. And I would say probably 30 years ago, they would say the same thing. This is something that happens to a lot of people. There is people faced with this all the time. As a result of it becoming to be expected, there's a tendency to think, okay, this is something everybody should see as a propensity to act this way. It is a sinful nature. We're born with these tendencies. This is what we're going to be doing. This is what we're going to be expecting. This is going to be a predisposition for us. And as a result of those thoughts that are in mind, there's a tendency to equate the idea of temptation with something normal, to define it as this normal propensity to act this way, or to think this way, or to feel this way, or to believe these kind of things. And I must tell you, go back to what I said a while ago, if this kind of temptation took place 30 years ago, that doesn't necessarily mean it's normal 30 years later. It just means it's a temptation that people are facing, that they're going through. But the idea of ceasing from this temptation is something we've got to think about. Every spouse in this room needs to expect the possibilities that your spouse will come up to you and say, I have been lying. It may very well be that every parent in this room should expect that there's a good chance that their son or daughter will come up to them and say to them, I have been struggling with, or I have been doing this, or I have been stealing. And the expectation comes as of that statement being made as a result of the sin, of the temptation that's put in front of these people to do these things. In other words, here's what I'm saying. Is the idea of the expectation of the temptation is followed by what the temptation leads a person to do. Therefore, if the lying is something that takes place in the life of the individual, say, okay, you got to change your words. You don't lie anymore, you just tell the truth. That's simple in words. That's simple in print to say that. And then you come along to the person that says, I want to tell you something, I've been stealing, and you say, well, you can't do that. Yes, in words you can say that's what you got to stop doing, but then the temptation is something that needs to be dealt with. That's leading the person to this. Not the necessary, okay, I understand you've got a sinful nature and you're going to do that. You got this normal propensity, you got this predisposition to do that. The expectation is there because, as Genesis chapter 3, Satan's going to want us to conform to him and to this world and not conform to what God made us to be. So expect that's going to happen. And please know that when we talk about this expectation, its aim is to bring it into what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says. Let's avoid. Let's not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's helping us understand, even though we are brave people and experienced people and knowledgeable people and skilled people, we will still do those kinds of things. I would say that in the last 5 or 10 years, you probably have heard a lot of reports on TV, in newspaper, radio announcements, kind of breaking news of this particular person at this level, whether they're celebrity or actor or CEO or whoever they may be, resigning their position. Not finding themselves going through the same thing they've been going through. And these people will be looked at as brave, noble, experienced, skillful people. And those people are resigning their positions. And they're not going to do what they used to do anymore. It's because there's been some temptation that has been placed for this person to say those things. As a result of saying those things, they've got to resign their position. As a result of the temptation that's put in front of this person, they do those things that have caused them to resign from their positions. But please know, you don't expect every politician to be like this. You don't expect every celebrity to be like this. You don't expect every actor, every athlete, every CEO to do those kind of things. Sometimes we look at that as the normal propensity, the tendency, the predisposition for those people in those positions to do those things. It's the temptation that's put in front of them to do those things. The expectation from the temptation is going to lead you in the direction in which the temptation wants you to go. The expectation is the temptation will come. No matter what your position may be, the expectation is it will be there. It's coming. And you don't know who's going to bring it to you. You don't know how it's going to be brought to you. You don't know what it is that's going to be brought to you. Just know it's going to come. Instead of saying, okay, you're stealing. You got to stop that. You got to stop that. Yes, that's true. But what are we going to do about the temptation that's led to the stealing? That's what we've got to deal with. We're going to understand something about temptation, and that is, you are not defined by your temptation. I heard this stated not too many weeks ago, and I got to thinking about the reference point of which they were making. And I got to thinking, that's right. And that goes back to the things that I mentioned to you a while ago, this propensity and this predisposition and the sinful nature and the tendency. Regardless of the temptation and how common the temptation, you should not see yourself through the lens of what tempts you, but to see yourself through the lens of the one who created you. You see, I forgot the one. The lens of the one who created you. That's how we prepare ourselves, and that's how we prepare our children. Yes, train up a child in the way he should go, and he's old, he will not depart from it. When those temptations come your child's way, and when they come your way, what's the preparation for this? Well, that's who I am. That's why people say, well, I just don't know how to control my anger. That's who I am. I don't know how to control my sight to keep from looking at this image on the computer. That's who I am. So the numbers of the times in which we sin and the numbers of times in which we're tempted and the numerous times, whether it's on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly, whatever it may be, and whoever says it to us, and however it may come, we're looking at that and say, that's who I am. We look at it through the lens of the temptation rather than seeing it through the lens of the one who created us, and that's who we are. And as a result, we'll say, I'm just this way. I'm just a poor old soul, and there's no way I'm going to win. I just can't help it. I'm just a lost cause. I'm oriented this direction. I'm born this way. These are the tendencies of which I am. And I think it's important to think about this question. Is the more you are tempted to steal mean you're a thief? Is the more you're tempted to be homosexual mean that you are homosexual? I've got a lot of people in this audience that love chocolate. If you love chocolate, is the conclusion that you are a glutton because of that? If your liking and loving of chocolate is according to the same pattern which we're, then that means you're a glutton. Automatically you're a glutton because you have this desire for that. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says something about temptation. It's common to man. Not that everybody's going to experience the same one, but the idea of temptation is common. The thing is, what happens when the temptation comes, our response to it, and sometimes others' response to it, to what we do, is that, okay, you're a 15-year-old boy. You're lusting after a girl. That's what all 15-year-old boys do. Okay, I understand. You got a little brother that's causing you a lot of problems. And you want to hit him. You want to throw his toys away. You want to break them all. And you want to beat him up. I know that's what all 3-year-old little brother, little sisters do to their brothers. We look at what goes on with the temptation and say, okay, that's what all women feel. That's what they do. It's this stage of life in which they're going through. It's they're at that age. We got to understand, we're not perfect. Everybody goes through these feelings. And please know, here's the tendency to look at these temptations. Those feelings go away. Those feelings go away. Is it to say we don't have to worry about it right now if we're at 13, 14, 16, 20, 80? If those temptations are there, then don't worry about it. They'll soon fade. And you don't have to worry about that anymore. So therefore, we've not addressed the temptation when it came, what to do with it. We just let the temptation lead to the sin and then say, okay, those tendencies over there, that predisposition, those feelings will just go away in time and you won't be sinning anymore. Just let nature take its course, kind of thing. But in the meantime, when all these things are going on, we look at it to say, that's who I am. That's who I am. Please know, friend, when you find yourself in the midst of temptation, temptation does not define who you are. Just because of numbers of times, because it comes from the same source, it comes from the same person, they're wanting you to do the same things, you don't define yourself that way. Therefore, here's what do we do? What do? As a parent, when we see our children that way, and in the illustration I gave you just a moment ago, when a child is that position, he or she wants to demonstrate their anger to their sibling, what do you do? What do you do? That's when you start early at 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 year old to get them to understand this is what you do with your temptation. And you don't say, okay, I know you're 2 years old. That's the stage of what you're going to. I know every 2 year old wants to do this. I know every 2 year old's going to do this. I know this is going to. You'll get past that. And overlook the evil from punching their brother and then not deal with the temptation that they're facing. I know that you wouldn't want to do this. But let me tell you something. When you get to 5 year old, you won't even think about killing your brother. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It will be worse then. We won't just intend to do it. We might just go ahead and do it. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about in the book of Matthew chapter 5 when he's talking about you've seen the scripture, you do not kill, do not kill. But he said, I want to tell you something. It's the attitude that's entering into the heart that comes along with calling people names that leads to the killing, the sin itself. Not just the actual physical killing, but it's what leads to it. I think it's very important to know when we talk about this idea of temptation, temptations lead you to do what? Excuse me, lead you to what you do, not to who you are. We should be known as what happens in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to verse 11. And I want you to think about what's going on here. And as he states these things, he says, I want you to know that those people that are unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he defines some of those. He says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Now you get that? And such were some of you. And some would say, okay, that's who they are. That's who they are. But ye were washed, ye were sanctified, ye were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of God. When you yield to temptation, you are a sinner. That's exactly what they did. They yielded to the temptation that brought them to the point of being a thief or an idolater or a homosexual or whatever they were. Whatever they were. After that, though, after that, they became to be people who are wise, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our Lord God. Now, at that point, who are they? Who are they? Oh, they were adulterers. They're fornicators, they're thieves, and they're all those kind of evil things. No, they're not. They are made in the image of God, and they need to be redeemed, and they need to be saved. Yes, they had the pattern, and they had the past experience of what it takes, or what happens when you yield to a temptation that leads you to the point of sin. But now, presently, they are Christians. They are Christians. How many people that have been in the past part of denominationalism would want you to believe that who they are today is still denominational, even though they're Christians biblically? Do you think they want you to know that who they are is denominational? Do you think that there are people in this world who are former drunkards, drug addicts, child abusers, all those kind of things, that would be qualified under what verse 11 says? Why sanctified, justified? Do you think that they want to know that's who they are? Child molesters? They want you to know that? Or do they want to be known, and are they biblically known? Not by the temptation that took them to that point of sin, but to the idea of being a Christian. You may be tempted again, as they might be, but your strength to overcome the temptation comes in Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. He says in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you. And now what Jesus has done for you and in you, you can be strong in Christ. And listen to this, folks, your affections, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, are in heaven, above, not upon the earth, to continue in the temptation of which you are. So here's the thing. If the temptation is defining who you are, you will be an adulterer the rest of your life, even if you're forgiven of sin. You're a fornicator. You're a thief. You're a homosexual the rest of your life. Or are we made in the image of God? And as one who has yielded to the temptation and sin, we need to be redeemed. To be brought back to the image of which God made us in the beginning. That's what we need to think about. There is something to be said for this temptation. Not only is it to be expected, not only is it something that doesn't define us and removing that myth, but we also, people should see, temptations are not a matter of pride. The great numbers of temptation is not a matter of boasting. We don't come up to somebody and say, well, at least you're not having to deal with being a drunk. At least you don't have to deal with the temptations of taking prescription overdose of... illegal use of prescription medicine. At least you don't have to think, don't worry about gossip. At least you don't have to think about adultery. At least you don't have to think about pornography. At least you don't have to think about stealing. As if to say, we boast about the fact that we are trying to struggle and we're overwhelmed and we're inundated with all these kind of temptations. At least you don't have to deal with all the things I've got to deal with. To struggle to get to be what God wants me to be. It's not a matter of pride. It's a matter of understanding that temptation can be dealt with. And here's the thing about it. Back in the book of 1 John chapter 1, in verse 7 to verse 9, the temptation that leads to the sin needs to be brought to the light. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, verse 7, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's just see the temptation for what it is, because it's introducing a lust. It's introducing a pleasure toward the sin that separates us from God. Because the tendency is with the temptation is sometimes we boast about it and say, at least you're not tempted with all this. I'm dealing with this every single day. You better be glad you're not having to deal with it. You ought to be the lucky one. Just as the person that has the numerous amounts of times in which they're tempted, just bring it to the light. Another thing about this idea of temptation is pride sometimes believes, as 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the opposite of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, wherefore he thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall, and say, I'll never do that. You will never catch me doing this. So the pride on one side is, you better be glad you're not having to deal with it like I am. But the pride on the other side is, huh, what you're dealing with, I ain't got nothing to worry about, buddy. I'm not ever going to find myself doing that kind of thing. You'll never catch me saying that. You'll never catch me doing that. You remember at the end of the first point that I made about those brave people, the celebrities, CEOs, actors, athletes that are resigning their positions? I bet they thought the same thing. They probably thought the very same thing. You never catch me there. I'm not going to be a part of that at all. Here's something to think about. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 is a great cure for pride and temptation. Here's what he says. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, there's assistance from Scripture, and there's assistance from brethren. He says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Pride and temptation is removed from what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 alludes to, that people think, I'll never do this, to the point of saying, if I'm going to help somebody else with something, I got to also have a caution sign that says, you might do the very same thing. Some kind of blinking light that says, I could do the very same thing that they're doing. Everybody in my family could do the very same thing that they're doing. Every single one of us could do the very same thing. Do you think the man that is 2 months married is laying there next to his wife and believes that in 13 years he's going to be caught up in an affair with another woman? Do you think the mama that has been married to her husband for 4 years and has 2 children, believes that 10 years later, she's going to be put in jail and will have to do community service because of writing bad checks? No one knows. But even though we might say, this is not going to happen to me, do you think a college student graduates and gets their master's degree, works for a company, and then at the beginning of this has great respect and regard for every policy that the company has that brings it to the point and the level at which that company has reached success, then 15 years into the company, as a VP, has to resign his position because he's committing forgery? They don't know that far ahead to know that may be the case, but it's a very key ingredient to see the reality of what temptation does. We are just one decision away from falling. One lustful thought, one lustful glance, one particular moment, one word, one decision, just one way away. It took one stone to bring him proud, big giant to his death. Goliath. One stone. Yeah, there were 4 or 5 stones out there, but there's only one that it took to bring him down. There's only one that will do that for us. One decision. And we just can't say, I will never do that, and pride ourselves. And we can't say our children or my child will never do that either. Here's the thing that we should fear is our false pride. Our false pride. And it is false. It leads us to a point of thinking there's this security there. You don't have to deal with this. You're protected. You don't have to worry about that. Here's something to think about. I am only as safe from sin as I am close to Christ. In John chapter 15, there was something that Jesus mentioned about himself, that he encouraged his disciples who were with him, who were his apostles. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he cleanses it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. So neither can you except you abide in me. We find ourselves closer to Jesus and further from sin. Yes, the temptation will come. And Jesus was one in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, where it states in verse 14 to verse 16, he's the high priest. We don't look at him and say, okay, he's never been tempted. He hasn't experienced this. He's been tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. And in this case, he's saying, I want you to come to me. I want you to be as close to me as you can. And don't depend upon the ability to escape the temptation because of your skill set that says, okay, you've got experience in this, you've got knowledge about this, you've got leadership qualities, you've handled these kind of situations before, you've been in a suffering situation. He says, don't look at your determined pride and say, I'll muster the strength, come get me. Come at me with all force. Come at me with all you got. No, you don't do that. This is very serious. Satan is very serious. He is very seriously involved in deceiving. He's very seriously involved in leading you past the point of temptation to fulfillment. He is very serious about destroying everything about you and me. He's very serious about that. And this is why the warning, this is why the exhortation is, be a soldier, put on the armor, and don't go there thinking that you've got this skill set that you'll be able to do this. I've gone through this before. I've been here. I've done this. Every single temptation has to be approached with the idea that I've got to have the armor on to defend and be the soldier of Christ that I need to be. We don't have a sufficient amount of time to go through this. If you go to the book of Matthew chapter 4 and you read about these three temptations that were placed upon Christ, there's something about what he does here that I want you to think about. Number one, he was led by the Spirit of God. First of all, sometimes we leave out that part of this situation and this part of history. We usually go right into the temptation, but you've got to know the Spirit of God led him first. And if the Spirit of God leads him, then you get to verse 4 where he's tempted by these turning these stones into bread. He depends upon the Word of God as a solution to the temptation. Number two, when he's tempted to cast yourself down off the top of the temple, he defends the character of God. Verse 7, and then when he's tempted to bow down to Satan, in verse 10, he determines to serve God. But the key ingredient is the first one that leads him to do what he does in each one of those. And he does it, folks. He doesn't strong-arm Satan. That's a tendency sometimes we do. We want to strong-arm this guy. As if to say, I've been a Christian a long time. There's nobody going to push anything over on me. It is amazing to me to see these, hear about. I don't see them as much as I hear about these movies of these actors. It's more in these science fiction movies where there are these, I don't know, this guy, woman, whoever it is, it's whatever they're supposed to be, and they face this force. And this force looks like, I don't know where they pull it from, out of the creek or out of the dump or whatever. They made some kind of image, and this third person, or this force is great evil. And in some cases, you don't ever see the image of the evil and the force. But it's amazing to me that how some of these characters, that whenever this force is around them, they can't see it in some cases, but then sometimes they do. And then all of a sudden, they just look around, and the picture is on their face, and there's blood, their blood vessels are popping out, and they're sweating, and it's just like they get this extra bit of strength, and certain amount of power and of adrenaline really goes through them, and all of a sudden it's just like they're braced for a Mack truck, and all of a sudden this force comes out and they're just ready to just go right at them, and they're just, in essence, saying to that force, just come on, give it all you got. And then the next thing you know, they turn the camera away, and the next thing you know, you hear blood-curdling screams before the person dies. That's exactly what we've got when you're dealing with Satan. You come up him with all your pride, your skill set, your ability, your skill. You try to strong assert, he's going to destroy you limb by limb, piece by piece, thought by thought, belief by belief, action by action. He's going to destroy every bit about you. Don't strong arm him as if to say, I can overcome this. God's given us, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 14, the armor of God to put this on. Don't go out there without these pieces in their place. Get around the brethren who have the same kind of armor on. Pray with them. Read the scriptures. Have the Spirit of God filling your life. You make sure you're the one that goes out there defending the faith and with all the equipment that needs to be done to defend the cause of the Lord. And you got to search your heart before you go out there to see if the Spirit of God's leading you, or whether it's your own spirit to say, I can handle this. I've gone through this before. That's what it means when we talk about this approach to temptation. We got to really seriously look at what's going on in regards to this idea. There's one thing that I want you to think about as we conclude this lesson, and that is this. There's a tendency for us to wonder, well, when's this going to end? When's this going to end? When's all this temptation going to stop? And it's not going to stop until the end of time. But I tell you what, one of the last temptations, this is for those of us that are Christians, probably one of the last temptations that we will face. I'm not saying it is the last, but one of them will be the questioning of your life in Christ. If you really believe you're saved, if you really believe in the Christ that saved you, if you really believe the God that sent the Christ, and you really believe his work, that's going to probably be the last, one of the last temptations you will face, to bring about doubt as to what your faith is. Satan's got a lot of ways. He's got a lot of ways for us to be tempted. And for even those people that are Christians, he does his best to turn you away from God and his righteousness. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that ye may be able to endure it. That's not just biblical. That needs to be applied. That's how you approach temptation. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't trying to say that's where we're headed. But it's just to get you to understand whenever the temptation approaches, that's what you do. And there may be some people that are Christians this morning who have not done a very good job of that. And the temptation has become to be so numerous or so attractive that they just could not stop from going through the process of which the temptation was leading them. And they sinned. It's just like what Simon had to face in the book of Acts chapter 8, where Peter told him, said, repent and pray to God that the thoughts and intents of your heart be forgiven. For us as Christians, that's what we should do. For those of you that are not Christians, the temptation is to be expected. And you experience what it means to carry it out because you've been doing it in sin for so long. Repent, confess that Jesus is the Christ, and be baptized in the water to rise up where you put off the old man and put on the new with the strength that God gives you to overcome the next temptation that you may face. Do what's right while together we sing this song.